Okay, we're continuing our series Vision 2017, and I wonder if we could just repeat these statements. Everybody say, know God, experience restoration, discover the future, make a difference. That's what we want to be the DNA of our church. We want everybody to experience those four steps and to really have a complete experience in God. And we've talked about, we want to know God. We want to know who Jesus is. We want to have a real relationship with Jesus Christ that goes beyond just coming to church and just doing the right things. But we want to have a real, powerful, dynamic relationship with Jesus Christ. And then we talked about experiencing restoration last week, that we want to be completely restored, not just to leave Egypt, but we want to get the Egypt out of us. And we want to live the life that God has for us. And this week, we're going to talk about the last two of those statements, and that is discover the future and make a difference. And when we talk about discovering the future, what we mean by that, we believe that everybody has a role and everybody has a future in ministry in God's house. And that is the future that God has for you. He wants you to be involved in His kingdom and involved in His church. And so we want to help you discover your future in God. We want to identify the talents, the gifts, the abilities that you have that you can bring to the kingdom of God. And we want those to be used in God's house because He has put you in this church, in the kingdom of God, for a reason. And we're going to talk about that here in a minute. And then we want to make a difference, that we want to use those gifts, we want to use those abilities to make a difference in someone else's life. Because that's why we're here, is not just to be saved, but to get out and we want to save others. We want to help God's work. We want to be His hands and His feet in this world. Does that sound good? Amen. All right. And I want to begin this by saying that the more you get involved in God's house, the more you will care about His kingdom, and the more I believe that you will fall in love with Him. Because He has great experiences for us, and we're not just to be spectators, but we're to be actively involved in what He's doing. And I believe that know God and discovering the future, and even all of these, they link up together, and they are largely dependent upon one another. In other words, a lot of times we can lose our relationship with God because we're bored. And it's not necessarily that we're doing anything, quote unquote, wrong. It's just we're not doing what He has for us to do. And I really believe that the reason a lot of people are walking away from church, a lot of young people are leaving the church, is not because they don't love the church. It's not that they don't love God. It's just they're bored. And so the world has this alternative for them of activity, and they have, you know, careers and whatever else, and in the church, we just basically tell them, just show up to church, fill your pew, don't do anything wrong, and that's Christianity. Well, I want to tell you, that is not true. I believe that these students over here, and even the kids and Kids Blast, God has a role for them in His church. And we're involved in His church, our love for Him will grow. Why? Because He begins to use us. And we see that this is real, that God has a purpose for me. And so I want to have 4 points this morning. And the first point I want to bring out is this. God has a place for everyone to serve in His house. God has a place for everyone to serve in His house. There's a place for you to serve in the kingdom of God. And you were saved to serve, not to sit. I'm going to say again, you were saved to serve, not to sit. Like I just said, sometimes we give this picture of, you know what, just pay your tithe, show up to church, don't do anything immoral during the week, and we'll be happy. But I don't think God's happy with that. I think God wants you to be actively involved in His kingdom. Why? Because when we make a difference, that will change us. That will change our life. And that's the greatest gift God has for us, is to not just be saved, but to be used. And you can say, you know what, God used me to make a difference in someone else's life. That's what it's all about. And so Ephesians chapter 2, Paul says this. He says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what?
Good works.
In other words, to be involved in his kingdom, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. In other words, before God created you, he knew everything about you. He knew about the talents, the abilities that you would have, the career, all of those things, your personality. And he put those inside of you because you are a unique 1 in 7 billion person. And he wants you to do the things that he has put in your heart, those good works that he has placed in your heart. He wants you to carry those out for his kingdom. That's why you were created. You were created to be used in the kingdom of God. You were not created just to work for your corporation. You weren't created just to, quote unquote, be a good mom and dad or a good person. You were created to be useful in the kingdom of God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, but you are a chosen people. He's talking about the church. A royal, what? Priesthood. Now, this is very important because some people think that there's this special class within the church called pastors or called leaders or called ministers. And they're to do everything. And then there's these people that sit in the pews and they just kind of look on and, you know, fill the spaces in the pews. But that is far from the truth. Everybody in here is a minister. Everybody in here is called to make a difference. I don't care if you've been coming for 2 weeks or for 20 years, or you've been here your whole life, whatever the case may be, you were created to make a difference. And what is a priest? A priest is this, it's someone who connects God and people. That's our job as the church, is to connect people to God's presence. Matter of fact, we have that on our pins, we have that on all of our stationery. We're connecting people to God's presence. That's what it's all about. How do we do that? By doing good works, by doing the things that God has placed in our heart, by carrying out the spiritual gifts that God has placed within inside of us. You know, it's funny, every once in a while, maybe I'll be at Walmart and I'll see someone from church and maybe they're with a friend and they'll be like, hey, Bob, I want you to meet my preacher. And it always cracks me up because he kind of hidden within that, what they're really saying is, you know, this is the guy that comes prays for me when I'm sick. You know, it goes beyond just preaching. It's, they think that the ministry is to do all the hospital visits. The ministry is to go knock on doors, to find souls and to, you know, do everything else in between. Well, I want to tell you, and I'm happy to do all that. You know, I'm happy to do hospital visits. I'm happy to pray for the sick. I'm happy to marry you. And, well, I'm not happy to bury you, but, you know, that's part of the job. But really, when you think about it, that's not necessarily scriptural. That the work of the ministry happens right here. That there's no way that the people who are on staff of this church can do everything and do every work of ministry that the Lord has for us. And so you can pray for the sick. You can go out and you can help somebody. You can go out and you can go buy someone groceries. It's not all about who's on staff here and who's on leadership. Everybody's in leadership here. Everybody's a part of the ministry. And so we need to think about this is that we need to get in the game. We need to go from a consumer mindset to a producer mindset. How many knows that, you know, if you figure out that there's only one person that's pulling the wagon and you can get in the wagon and not do anything, pretty soon you're going to have a lot of people in the wagon and the wagon's going to be moving really slow. Yeah. And we need some people to get out of the wagon and help pull. Why? Because we get places quicker. More gets done. And think of how much could be accomplished if everybody in this church was involved in the work of the ministry. As statistics say this, that in a given church, 20% of the people do 80% of the work. And I would like to see our church be the exception to that. I would like to see everybody involved in God's kingdom, not just to make my job easier, but I believe that there's a blessing in that. There's a blessing in you getting involved. I want you to get a heart for God's house. You know, in Matthew chapter 14, Jesus, he was ministering. It says that he went ashore and he saw a great crowd and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Now, when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, this is a desolate place and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy food for themselves. Wow, they were really compassionate, right? But Jesus said, they need not to go away. You give them something to eat. And that's the job that God has for each and every one of us. Isn't to send people away. Isn't to push it on somebody else and, well, maybe God will take care of it. No, we are his hands and we are his feet. That if the job's going to get done, if people are going to get fed spiritually, people are going to be helped, it's going to be because you and I. And I think God is saying to us today, you give them something to eat. You go out and minister. You know, so many times we could pray, Lord, fix this problem, help this person. Well, maybe you're the miracle. Maybe you are the answer to the prayer. Maybe God is waiting on you to open your eyes and see, you know what, I can give them the money they need for groceries. You know what, I can go and pray for them. I don't have to wait on Pastor Jeremy to show up. I can go lay hands on them. Why? Because the prayer of a righteous person, what, it avails much. And so we all have a part in God's house. And I love what Jesus did. He says, they came back to him and they said, we only have 5 loaves here and 2 fish. And he said, bring them here to me. Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. Then he broke the loaves and what did he do? He gave them to the disciples and the disciples gave them to the crowd. And I'll tell you, today you have 5 loaves and 2 fish. Every one of us do. God's given us all a little something that we can give back. But he's not going to be the one that passes it out. He's going to ask you to do it. He's going to ask you to step out. He's going to ask you to be a greeter. He's going to ask you to go help at Kids Blast. He's going to ask you to just see how you can get involved maybe with helping with men's conference and some of the events we have coming up. Why? Because you have something to give back to God. Point number 2 is this. There are no insignificant people or ministries in God's kingdom. There are no insignificant people or ministries in God's kingdom. You know, through the years, there's been people come through here, and when they walk in the door, you know what the first thing they see? A really big platform. And they'll do anything they can to get up here. You can't ask them to do anything else. They'll say something, oh, I'm not called to that. That's not what God's called me to do. But you ask them to do something up here, and they're more than happy to try to get be a part of the platform. Well, you know what? There are no superstars in God's kingdom. There are no little people. There are no little ministries. Every person that has played a role in this service, many of them you haven't seen. You know, and it's all dependent upon everything coming together. And the Apostle Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And he likens the body of Christ to human body parts. And it takes all of the parts of the body working in conjunction with each other for there to be a whole person. And he says this in 1 Corinthians, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but its parts should be equal concern, have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. In other words, there are so many people working today to make me look good. You see, it's so much more than you hearing this message. Because what if someone showed up today and there's no greeter? What if someone doesn't know where to sit? What if someone shows up and the greeter is rude? It doesn't matter what I say. Why? Because they're offended and they can't even hear the word of God. Or what if you came today and you have children? And guess what? Next door, we have a team of close to 10 people over in Kids Blast who are giving up their time here to hear this message. They're giving up the time that they could be consuming to go next door to provide a great environment for children. Why? Because, you know, we have people who come in here and maybe they have 2 or 3 kids and they're young and they're crawling all over the place and they can't hear the word of God. They can't worship. They can't concentrate. And so somebody said, you know what? I'll go next door today and I'll watch some kids. Why? Because it all works together. And the goal is this, is that we want Jesus to be honored. And when it all comes together, it's not about me. It's not about them. It's about Jesus getting glory and Jesus being glorified. And everybody plays a part in making that happen. Everything is important. You know, I'm not saying this to make myself look good. I just thought it was a good example, so I'm going to go ahead and use it. But every Thursday afternoon, I go to the Eva Hunt Center, and I vacuum the Eva Hunt for Celebrate Recovery. And I really enjoy doing that. Matter of fact, I don't want anybody to come after church and ask if they can do that, because that's mine. You know why? Because I really don't do much for Celebrate Recovery, but I can do something. And that gives me an opportunity as I'm vacuuming underneath those tables. God bless the person that sits in this chair tonight. God bless the workers who are preparing the food. God bless everybody that shows up to give back. And, you know, that gives me just a chance to be a part of that blessing. And I don't want anybody stealing that blessing. And that's how you need to be. You need to be aggressive in the kingdom of God and say, I want to get involved because I don't want someone else stealing my blessing. Jesus said, if you give a cup of cold water to the least of these, you're going to be blessed. And so it doesn't matter how small the contribution is. It's all about giving God the glory, giving God what he deserves. Matthew 11:11, Jesus said this. He said, I say to you, among those born of women, there has risen no one greater than John the Baptist. John the Baptist was the forerunner to Jesus. He prepared the way. He gave up his very life for that gospel. He was a great man. But look at what Jesus said. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. What is Jesus saying there? I think he's saying this. He's saying that the person who shows up every week with a smile to greet at the front door, the person who faithfully teaches Sunday school week in and week out, and no one sees what they do, the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist. Why? Because it's not about the highlight. It's not about the spotlight. It's about being faithful to what God has called us to do. And when we do what God has called us to do, there's a great blessing in God's kingdom. How many want to be a part of that? Anybody want to be a part of the blessing that God has for you? Point number three, God has a ministry that matches our personal uniqueness. As I said before, you are a unique person. There's nobody quite like you. And there's a number of ways that God gives us our distinctiveness and our uniqueness and makes us who we are. And it's through these qualities that we can see maybe where we fit in serving in God's house. Number one, we are given spiritual gifts. The Holy Spirit puts supernatural talents and abilities in our life. And there's a couple different lists within the scriptures of these spiritual gifts. And I won't go over all of them, but you know, there's things like, you know, there are people who are gifted to pray for the sick. There are people who are gifted to teach. And there's also more practical things like the gift of helps, the gift of hospitality. I know people who have, it's without a doubt, a supernatural gift to help people. And they know how to be a help. They know how to get things done. There's the gift, you know, of hospitality where they know how to just make people comfortable. And these lists go on and on. And sometimes you study that and we're going to help you identify those spiritual gifts. But those things are supernaturally placed within us so that we can do what God has called us to do in the kingdom of God. And as I said before, there's no superstars. We don't have to apologize for maybe what God hasn't gifted us. You know, you don't want me working on your car. Preacher here will preach you a good sermon. You don't want me touching your car. Why, God has not given me that gift. Trust me, God has not given. I don't have to take a test to find out. God has not gifted me with that. But there are many people in here, you know, that God, they're never going to give a sermon, but God has gifted them with mechanical skills. Guess what? We need that in the kingdom of God.
Right.
That can be used to help people. We don't have to apologize for what we do or don't have. Our passions, what God has placed inside with us a passion for, that's a clue for how he wants to use us. If you have a passion for greeting people and being a smiling face, if you have a passion for Sunday school, if you have a passion for prayer, what that passion is a clue of how God wants to use you. God's not going to put passions inside your heart just to torment you, just to try to get you in a miserable place, but that's probably a clue of where God wants to use you. And you need to develop that passion. You need to develop that gift that God has placed there. The next is abilities. There's natural abilities. Now, these aren't spiritual gifts. They're just natural abilities. And probably a good example would be a mechanic. It would be a person who's gifted maybe at organizing, at planning, at, you know, just general help. I know people in this church that they're just great at helping and they know a little bit about everything. And guess what? Those people are useful in the kingdom of God. You know, the average person has 500 to 700 natural skills. 500 to 700 natural skills. And the shame is most of us never identify those. And a lot of times we never identify those as we're never placed in a situation where those will be used. So to be used by God and to be used in our natural ability, sometimes we have to step out in faith and we need to see if the gift is there. And if it's not there, we don't have to apologize for it. We just have to be faithful with what God has given us. The next thing that God uses to show us where we belong is our personality. We got introverts. Any fellow introverts in this room? Go ahead. The irony is that you're so extroverted you were able to lift your hand. So praise God. You're becoming a little more extroverted if you lifted your hand. But there's nothing wrong with being an introvert. We have extroverts. We have people that, you know, they need to be at the front doors greeting people, right? They need to be in public places. Guess what? God can use both of those people. And we have thinkers. We have feelers. We have, people who, you know, maybe their gift isn't in teaching, but it's just in ordinary, common, everyday relationships. All of those things are personality traits which God can use. Your personality is very important in this, in that it will help you to identify where to use your spiritual gifts and abilities. For all of us, that means that it might not be a public gift. Maybe it's a private gift. For some of us, maybe we need to be in a more social setting. Why? Because you feed off the energy of people and you need to be around people. Well, guess what? There are certainly places where you can be used for that. The last thing is experiences. Our experiences in life are valuable in that it shows strength and wisdom that we've gained from those experiences. And so this is things like educational experiences. God doesn't want you young people just to get an education so you can use that for your career. He wants you to apply that education to the kingdom of God. People like nurses, medical professionals. Guess what? We need you. Because from time to time we have medical emergencies around here. People come to church and maybe they have a little spell. Well, guess what? We want you to use that gift in God's house. We want you to use that gift to help with the praying of the sick. There's work experiences. There are spiritual experiences. Who to help someone else who's going through a bad spiritual situation than somebody who's experienced it themselves. And there are some things that you can't know about, you can't help other people with until you've experienced it. Amen? You can't experience, or you can't really help somebody maybe with cancer unless you've experienced going through cancer yourself. You can't help somebody as much with an addiction unless you've experienced that addiction yourself. And so we want to use those experiences, maybe what has been used for the negative and what the devil wanted to use to destroy you. We want to take that and we want to apply it to the kingdom of God to help and to heal people. Last point, point number four, serving in God's kingdom meets the greatest need of the human heart. Serving in God's kingdom meets the greatest need of the human heart. If you want to give your relationship with God new life, and if you want to inject new passion into your walk with God, I want to encourage you, find a place to step up and serve in God's house. And I'll just throw a shameless plug right now. We need nursery workers. We need people to show up for an hour and a half and help in our nursery. You know what? That's probably the least appreciated and least volunteered part of our church. And I realize not everybody can do it. But if you can do it, I want to tell you, there's a blessing in that. You're not too good for it. Nobody's too good for it. Why? Because there might be somebody who needs to hear the word of God, but they can't. Why? Because they have a baby. A lot of people maybe won't show up to church. Why? Because, you know what, by the time I get there and I sit with a baby the whole time, I'm not going to hear anything anyway. And so, you know, I'm not going to get out today. What a shame. And what a shame with so many valuable people and so many talented people that we can't find volunteers. There's a sign-up sheet out in the foyer. If you could do it once a month, I want to tell you, there's a blessing in it. God will bless you. We need volunteers for that ministry. And you know, when we think about what I just said, serving in God's kingdom meets the greatest need of our human heart. What brings fulfillment? Well, there was a man who came up with 8 things, kind of a hierarchy of needs that brings fulfillment to our life. And there's things, you know, kind of at the base of it is what we call physical needs. And this is air, water, food, warmth, shelter, sleep, you know, very basic things. We have to have food to be fulfilled. Which, how many are ready for the 21-day fast to come to an end? Amen. Amen. Then there's safety needs. We need to feel safe. Protection from elements, security, law and order, things like that. Then the next phase is love needs. We all need to be loved. We need to feel loved. We need to feel appreciated. And this comes through relationships. The next is esteem needs. We need to be affirmed. We need to have achievement, recognition. We need to be complimented. Whether we admit it or not, these are very important needs. So those first 4 needs are just kind of the basic needs. Now, these next 4 are kind of what he called the higher needs and bring true fulfillment. We have cognitive needs, knowledge. In other words, we need an education. We can't read the Word of God without an education. We can't go anywhere in life without, you know, some very basic cognitive needs. The next is aesthetic needs. And that's an appreciation for beauty. We need to see, you know, the creative work around us, or maybe it's your house. You know, the fresh coat of paint on the wall can add an aesthetic need being met. Then there's self-actualization needs, and this is realizing our personal potential, being the best that we can be, accomplishing something of value, pushing ourselves to that goal, doing something that we didn't think that we can do. And then the most important need that this man said that we have is this, transcendence needs. And transcendence needs is to be a transcendent life. To live a transcendent life is to live life beyond yourself and a life that makes an eternal difference. A life that transcends ordinary life. And I want to ask you, how many people do you think live that kind of life? You see, you can have a great job. You can have a job that pays you a lot of money, but it doesn't meet your transcendent need. My wife's probably going to choke me for this, and I've used her as an illustration before, but when we were talking about getting married, this was one of her things. She said, you know, what I do is great, it pays me well, but it doesn't meet the need. When I go home, did I make a difference today? And just because you make a lot of money doesn't mean that you've met your transcendent needs. because God has placed a desire deep inside of every one of us, and that is this: to make a difference. Something that you can go home and when you lay down your head on your pillow at night, you said, I made a difference today. I made a difference in someone's life. And I want to tell you, the best place for that to happen is God's house, the kingdom of God. When you see somebody, maybe you were the first one to greet them at the front door, and they came with a long face, they came with a lot of problems, and you greeted them, you made them feel welcome here at church, and over a period of time, they get to know God. You get to see them be baptized. You see them go through months or maybe years of experiencing restoration, and then you see them go out, and guess what? They're fishing for others, and they're making a difference. And I don't know about you, but when I see that happen, it feels like one of my kids. Even though I don't have any kids, some of you are some of my adopted kids. You know why? I can think of sermons where you made a move towards God. I can think of situations in your life where it wasn't easy, but you committed to staying the course. And conversations, hard conversations that we had, and then you ended up making it. You make progress in God. And that's what keeps me fueled, and that's what keeps me going in ministry is, you know what, at the end of the day, I made a difference. And guess what? You don't have to be a licensed minister to experience that. Everybody in this room can make a difference, and that is how you reach transcendent needs. That's how you transcend everyday life. God has created you for so much more than just to make a paycheck and just go through the motions. God has created you to play a role in the kingdom of God and make a difference. How many wants to make a difference? I think of Sunday school teachers. I can remember specific lessons they taught, and it stayed with me. And if you're here today and you know who you are, you made a difference. When you showed up early with orange juice and donuts and you didn't think anybody saw, I saw and I remembered. I remembered what you taught. It stayed with me. And maybe those kids aren't all here today, but I guarantee it stayed with them too. You made a difference. For those of you who, you know, you do things like just run a vacuum and you're just here, just doing whatever you can do. You're making a difference. We can't do it without you. And I love what David said in Psalm 84:10. Better is one day in your courts. In other words, better is one day in your house than 1,000 elsewhere. Then he says this, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. In other words, he said, I would rather just be a full-time greeter at the front door of God's house than to have mansions, than to be a movie star, than to be a celebrity. Why? Because that's where my heart's at. That's where my passion's at. I'm just going to ask you today, pray that God will give you a passion for his house. Pray that God would give you a passion for what God has for you to do. And whatever it is, no matter how seemingly small it may be, do it with excellence. Do it with a passion. Why? Because it's not about you. And it's not even really about what you're doing. It's about what God wants to accomplish and what God wants to do to expand his kingdom. And it all starts with people saying, Lord, here am I. Send me. I'll go. Lord, I'll go next door to Kids Blast and I'll play with some kids. I'll do some skits. I'll do whatever they want me to do over there for an hour and a half, for 8 weeks a year, if that makes a difference. That's what God's looking for today. And it's a high honor. It's a high honor to do anything in God's house. Anybody believe that? It's a high honor to do anything in God's house. It doesn't matter if it's preaching a sermon or scrubbing a toilet. It's a high honor to do anything in God's house. I love what did Paul say? He said, in everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. Remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself, he said what? It is more blessed to give than to receive. I want to just tell you, if you're not happy, where you're at in God. Maybe you need to get up out of your pew and do something. The reason you're not feeling blessed, the reason you're not feeling fulfilled, is maybe it's because you're a consumer and not a producer. And I want to say that as kindly as I can. If everybody just consumed, what would get done? What would happen? But if everybody said, I want to be a producer. I'm tired of just showing up to church, filling my spot, leaving. You don't make a difference that way. But when you say, Lord, here am I. Lord, if it's sitting in that nursery for an hour and a half, once a month, and if that makes a difference in someone's life, I'm here to do that. It doesn't matter how minimal it is. God's just looking for somebody who will be available. And before we end service today, I want to encourage everybody, a week from Wednesday night, we're starting Growth Track. And we're going to be having these growth tracks throughout the year. And the purpose of Growth Track, and we're going to be giving you more information, is we're going to lead everybody through the culture of our church, the beliefs of our church, but we're also going to have everybody take a gifts inventory. And we're going to find out where your passions are. We're going to find out where your gifts are. And then we're going to try to plug everybody in to the Dream Team. Now, the Dream Team is going to be a collection of the ministries that we have at our church. And we're going to form this Dream Team. And we want everybody, as many people as possible, to be on the Dream Team. Why? Because we believe that God's Dream Team is right here. Amen? We believe that within everybody in this building today, there are gifts and talents and abilities that need to be applied to the kingdom of God. So I want to encourage everybody, if you could give 3 Wednesday nights, commit to being here. It starts a week from Wednesday night, and we're going to give you more information on those dates and more information about how that's going to work. But I want to encourage everybody to do that. But I wonder if we could just stand right now. And I wonder if we could close our eyes all over this place. Can we do that right now? Can we close our eyes all over this place? Every head bowed, every eye closed. And the first thing I want to tell you is this. You can't make a difference until you know God. You need to surrender your life to Jesus today. And it's not just so you won't go to hell. It's so you can make a difference. You can really discover what life's about. If you've never given Jesus your life today, I want to encourage you to do that. So we're going to pray here in a minute. But also, I want to ask a question. And the question is this. Have you just kind of been coasting? Are you really involved in the work of this church? And today, if you're a guest, this doesn't apply to you. But for those of us that have been coming a while, maybe we just kind of checked out. And truth be told, you're a consumer. You show up. Maybe you give, and that's great. But God has so much more than that. And if you would be bold enough just to lift up your hand and say, you know what, I want to go from a consumer to a producer. I want to be more involved in God's kingdom. I'm probably not even going to remember who raises their hand, but if you'd be bold enough, lift up your hand and say, that's me. Thank you, Jesus. You can put those hands down. Lord, I pray right now in the name of Jesus. Yes. I pray, Jesus, for every person that lifted up their hand. God, I pray, give them the boldness and the courage to step out, Lord, and get involved and to get in the game, to get involved in your kingdom, because when we make a difference, God, that is the greatest blessing, Lord, of our life. Lord, and I pray for anybody here today, Lord, that made a decision to make you Lord of their life. God, I pray they would take the next step, Lord, and to seek out baptism. Lord, and if they have any questions about baptism, they come see me after church, Lord, because that's the greatest decision that we can make, Lord, is to make you Lord, to be baptized in your righteousness. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen.